We have been going through, we're going through in August, the same 10 verses every day, every week, for 4 weeks. And the verses have come from John 15. And we're looking at the first 10 verses. They're verses that actually are very familiar to many Christ followers, especially if you grew up in the church. So what I want to do this morning is I want to read this. And what I want to do as I read it, if you've been in the church a long time, these are very familiar. They roll over in your head. You've heard them many times before. Is my hair still like that? Okay. Sir. Looks good. Thank you, Stevie. So if you've been in the church a long time, you've probably heard these verses many, many times. And you kind of think of them, okay, they're part of the Bible. I want you to listen as I read them in context. Remember we talked about this last week? These words were spoken by Jesus to his disciples as they're leaving the Last Supper. They're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be arrested and crucified. And he feels like this is important enough to talk to his disciples about right before their lives apparently fall apart. So just keep that in the back of your mind and kind of listen to this as the disciples might have heard it when he said it for the very first time. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, if you were here last week, you'll remember the words that Jesus spoke here were intended to be an encouragement, because his disciples, he knew what was going to happen, remember? The disciples didn't. They didn't know their whole world was going to fall apart. They probably figured they had more time with Jesus, that was just life was going to go on. They did not know that within 24 hours he's going to be dead. They were going to be scattered. They will have denied him, run away. They didn't know all this was going to happen. And so when Jesus is saying these things, he wanted them to know, and if you remember the main idea last week, was that he wanted them to know that he is the only source of life that won't disappoint. Everything else will. It kind of answered for us last week that whole question in terms of the why. And so what he's saying is, he's saying, look, I am, the Father is totally committed to bringing you into this relationship with me as the only true source, the true vine, the one that you need to drive your source of life from. And so we saw last week, we wanted to see the events of this life drive us towards Jesus, not pull us away. But that kind of, the key word in this verse, we talked a little bit about this last week, it's actually this Greek word meno, and it's the one that you see in a lot of your versions, they say abide, and then some of it says to remain in me. It's this verse in repeat over and over and over, and it simply means to continue, to dwell. There's this idea of being present, of being alongside, of being with, of standing beside. That's what this word means. It's the one that's repeated all the way through this passage. And so what we looked at last week was kind of like, well, why should we even bother doing this? Why would we even want to remain in Jesus? Because he's saying, hey, I want you to do this. Remain in me. Well, why? And what we saw last week, as we said, was that that's because he's the only source of life that won't disappoint. If the source of your life, if what gets you up in the morning, if what drives you to do the things you do is anything other than Jesus, eventually you will be disappointed. He's the only one that won't disappoint. So today what I wanted to look at is this question. How? Because I look at all this and I say, okay, that's great. What does it mean to remain in him? What does it even look like? How do I know if I'm even doing this? I knew a couple once. They'd been married about 10 years. And their story paralleled far too many stories that I have heard over the years. They had fallen in love. They had enjoyed each other's company. They, you know, one of those newly married kind of things. But over the years, it seems like their interest became more different. They did fewer and fewer things together. She did things differently than him. He was wrapped up in his job, and slowly they began to drift apart. And it wasn't really any one thing. It was just kind of this slow, gradual, and steady move away from each other. And he began spending more time at work, as did she. He found fulfillment in extracurricular activities. She found it in the kids. And after 10 years, they were still living in the same house, but they were just roommates. They weren't really together anymore. Not the way they once had been. They were around each other regularly, but they didn't really know what was going on in each other's hearts and minds, and they were together, and even when they were together in the same room, they weren't really present with each other. And to the outsider, looked at them and said, oh, they're still married, things are good. But they were all but separated. And to use the terminology of Jesus, they were no longer abiding together. And the picture that I think of when I think of that story and the other ones I've heard like it is that we don't want that in our relationship with God. And yet so often it feels like we're roommates, we're connected, but we're not really intimately acquainted with each other. And the problem we have is we like this idea, but we don't, it sounds good, we don't feel like we're abiding. Everybody been there? Or maybe it's just me. You know, I'm constantly making mistakes. I sin. I feel like there's no fruit in my life. And then, honestly, when I grew up and I read John 15, and it said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and if you bear fruit, that's great, but if you don't, I'm going to cut you off and throw you into the fire. I thought Jesus was threatening me. That was how I grew up with it. I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to bear fruit. If I don't bear fruit, Jesus is going to be done with me. He's going to throw me away. He's going to want anything to do with me. I got to be better, do better, be more holy, all those things, right? And I wonder how many times we spend all of our energy trying to be better and be more like Jesus, and we're just all the time wondering, am I really remaining in him? Or is he going to cut me off? So when Jesus told the disciples to remain in, what is he actually talking about? Now, unfortunately, for those of us that like procedures, there is no three-step process to abiding in Jesus. I cannot give you step 1, 2, and 3, do these few things, all will be good, because it doesn't exist that way. And in fact, Jesus didn't do that. Notice what he says. Do you remember when the disciples asked him, how should we pray? He says, well, let me show you. Here's how you should pray. And he could give them a thing to follow, kind of a framework that they could hang their prayers on to do it this way. But in this case, he just says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. So he uses a metaphor, a picture, not a how-to. Because he wanted to illustrate what it looks like without telling them all these little details of things they had to do, because then it moved them right away from relationship and into legalism. And that's the whole point of this morning, is remaining in Jesus, abiding in Jesus, being with him is simply remaining in relationship with Jesus. But remember, it's not the 10-year married, drifting apart, roommate kind of relationship. No. He's very clear what this relationship looks like. So rather than give a process this morning, I just want to look at three things that illustrate what it looks like when we are remaining in Jesus. Three things that I think characterize, according to Jesus in these verses, what it looks like when we're remaining in him. Okay? So let's take a look at these in the time we have remaining. The first is this. It's the kind of relationships that is a dependent relationship. Look what he says. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. And then a little later he says, if you remain in me and I in you. There's a reason that Jesus used this metaphor of the vine and the branches. Let me see if I can give you an illustration here. It's like trip and fall. All right. Now, you're going to have to excuse because the metaphor only goes so far here. But as of this morning, this one was attached to a tree, to a vine. It's green, it's lush. So you have to picture for a second this is still connected. Do you know why this is still green and lush? You all know this, right, if you work in the yard at all? It's because it's connected to the source of all the nutrients, right? The sap, the water, everything that this needs to flourish comes from through the roots of the vine up to the branch. That's what causes it to be green. By itself, it ends up looking like this. And if you live in a yard that has trees, you know that this, you see these all the time. This has been disconnected for a while. And they're brittle. And you can take the leaves and they just crumble up into powder. There's no life to it. You can snap it. You can break it. It's not flexible. It withers and there's no point to it. I don't know if Jesus actually saw one of those when he was walking along, but he's using this very, very clear metaphor because he's saying this. If you're going to abide and be in relationship with me, you are going to have to depend on me. This branch, the green branch that's attached, is completely dependent on the vine. It can't say, you know what, I'm going to disconnect for a while. I'm going to go do my thing. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to plug into the vine a little bit more and kind of get juice back up. So I can go. It's not like filling the car with gas, right? You don't fill the gas, go do your thing. There's this continual ongoing where the branch always says, I cannot be green without the vine. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm the true vine, you're the branches, you have to be connected to me, but that means you are utterly dependent on me. And let me tell you, that is not easy for people who were raised in a culture that prizes independence. And then we get into the situation, because when Jesus is using this metaphor, there's really two pieces to it, right? We look at it, there's this initial dependence. So there's this idea of, hey, I got to come to Jesus because I know I cannot save myself. And right, a lot of us, most of us here have done this. We've come to Jesus and said, look, I need you to forgive my sins. You died. You took my place. I can't do this. I'm messed up. I need you. I'm never making it to heaven on my own. I'm never going to have life on my own. Jesus, I'm utterly dependent on you to save me. And so we invite Jesus into our life and he saves us. They're connected to the vine. But Jesus is also talking about this ongoing day-to-day life of complete dependence on Jesus. That says every single day, okay, I cannot live this day on my own, in my own strength. I need you. I need you to trust me with your money. I need you to trust me with your time. I need you to trust me with your relationships. I need you to depend on me for direction. I need you to depend on me for what to say and what to do and how to live and how to act and what to eat. Just the whole thing. It's like, Jesus, I am all about you. I don't know if you noticed, there's a mutualness to this. Do you notice both of these? It says, remain in me as I remain in you. This is a two-way thing, right? But Jesus never fails in his side of the bargain. But he says, look, remain in me the same way I'm remaining in you. I am there. I am available. I am there for you. I am investing in your life. So remain in me because I'm going to remain in you. And together, you're going to have that kind of relationship that you pray, that you crave, that source of life that we talked about last week. Remaining in Jesus is remaining in a relationship with Jesus, a dependent relationship. We're going to come at the end of this. I'm going to ask you a couple questions to process because this is intensely practical stuff that Jesus is giving to his disciples. But there's a second piece to this. And simply this, it's not just a dependent relationship, it's a growing relationship. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Now, here's an interesting thing. I cut this off today and it still looks green. I think I'm going to leave this here. What do you think this is going to look like next Sunday? What about the Sunday after that? And the Sunday after that? See, there's an interesting thing that this looks pretty good. It looks healthy. It looks green. But once it is disconnected, it will wither. It'll take time. You don't see it right away. It's not something that, okay, it's disconnected, and all of a sudden, whoosh, there's no use. It's withered. It's gone. There's this process of withering away. When Jesus is giving this metaphor, he's saying, look, guys, this is an ongoing, growing relationship. So he uses this interesting word picture. He says, if you remain in me, and then he says, and my words remain in you. Now, for most of us who grew up in the church, that meant we have to read our Bibles, right? Have you ever heard that before? His words have to remain in us. We have to know what he said. We have to know what the Bible says. We have to listen to the Bible. But I want you to remember the context when Jesus said this. There was no New Testament. Hadn't been written yet. The guys who wrote it were listening to Jesus talk. There was the Old Testament. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, look, I want you to remain in me and have my words remain in you. What was he saying to them? He's saying, look, you have spent the last 3 years with me. You've watched what I've done and you've heard what I've said. Because Jesus had this really interesting habit of doing this. He always connected what he said with what he did. He tied them together. And he said, look, you've watched me, you've seen the miracles, you've seen all the things I've done, you've seen how I've interacted with people, how I've cared for people, how I've watched over people, and you've heard me teach all these things about the kingdom. So guys, what I want you to do is live like that. And keep doing what I've been doing. And teaching what I've been teaching and putting them together in your life. So when we talk about a growing relationship, we're simply talking about Jesus saying, look, I want you to live increasingly the way I lived. More and more all the time. We're never going to get it perfectly, but we're supposed to increase in that. I mean, think about this. Think of this. Let's say you had a child, and as they got older, you taught them. You taught them how to live. You kind of taught them the necessity of having a job. You talked about money. You talked about work. You even modeled it for them. You talked about relationships and the way to have the best kind of relationships. You even bought them their first car so they could get to work. And now they're 32 years old. They live in your basement. They play video games all day. How do you think they've learned what you've been teaching them? It's like it's had no impact on their life. That's why Jesus is saying, look, I want you to take what I've done, what you see, and that's what I want you to do. I want that to remain in you so that it sets the characterization of your life. Because you can know all the Bible you want. And if it is not influencing, affecting, and everything the way you live, there's no point. It's not a growing relationship. It's got to be both. It's hearing him more. It's listening to what he says and then living that way. And then interestingly, you know, he says, I love what follows. He says, look, ask for whatever you wish. If you do that, then you're going to get, it's going to be done for you. It's not a wish list. It's not a, hey, as long as you remain in me, you can ask for anything you want. Because if that were true, I would have a nicer car than I do. Because I would ask for something really, really high end. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, look, the more you know me, the more you understand my heart, the more you live the way I live, the more you treat people the way I treated people, the more you understand this, then when you talk to me, we are going to be in complete agreement. And it's a done deal. Remaining in Jesus is remaining in a relationship with Jesus. A relationship that's characterized by dependence, a growing relationship. And here's the third thing I see, is that it's an infectious relationship. And here's what I mean by that. A person who remains in Jesus brings it into all their other relationships. Look what he says. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Very interesting turn of phrase, actually, that he uses. It's an odd, it doesn't really mean a whole lot. So once again, you have to remember the context. That's why it's so helpful to understand what was going on. What had Jesus just done before dinner that night? Do you remember? Washed their feet, right? He washed their feet, went around the whole room, washed their all people, even Judas. And then when he's done that, he said to them, look guys, the whole point of this life is to serve others. And then he gives them those amazing instructions. I'm going to give you this new command. Love each other the way I have loved you. That's how I want you to love each other. And they hadn't even seen him die yet. But the cross was going to bring a whole new meaning to that. It's like he's saying to them, look, pay attention, guys. Hey, I loved you so much. I didn't just wash your feet. I'm about to die in your place. I am about to take the punishment that should be on you. I've lived the life that you were supposed to live, but you couldn't. So I'm going to die the death you should have had. I'm going to do that in your place because I love you so much. And I want you to be so absorbed and so intoxicated with that love that you cannot help but let that flow out of you onto all the people around you. It's really the heart of the good news, right? He loved us so we can love other people. Here's the truth. You cannot remain in the love of Jesus and not have it spill out onto other people. This is grace. Remaining in Jesus is remaining in relationship with Jesus. And this is the beauty of Jesus. Because he knows us. He knows our souls. He knows what's inside. He knows what we need. He doesn't want us to wither up. He doesn't want us to have other things in life that are going to be the sources that we cling to that will disappoint. He doesn't want us in those places where our own souls are in those dark places with frustration and hopelessness. He says, no, 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 no. be in relationship with me. What does it look like? How do I do that? Look, just depend. Depend on me. Bring me into everything. Depend on me. Grow in this. Just keep practicing. Do the things that I've done. Just model your life after me and let it spill out onto the people, because if you love the people that Jesus loves, you're living according to him and in relationship with him. This is, my friends, this is so practical. So let me ask you a couple questions. For remaining in Jesus is remaining in relationship with him. There's kind of three pieces to this that we saw. It's a relationship of dependency, a relationship of growth, and a relationship that infects others. So let me ask you these questions. What would happen in your life if you depended on him more completely in every area of your life? What would be different? What would change? What would change in your attitudes, in your heart, in the areas you worry about, in the things you try so hard to control, in the things that you run to when you're feeling lousy? What if we took Jesus at his word that he would actually provide everything we needed and we could depend on him completely? How would this week look different for you? What about the second one? What if I invited him? Words are off. What if I invited him into every place, including those places where I am resisting following him? You know what I'm talking about, right? Those areas that we like to keep to ourselves, those kind of off-limits places, the places that we struggle a little bit, saying, yeah, God, I don't know if I want you in there. What if we said, no, I'm going to give you access to all of it. I'm going to follow you in. I'm going to do what you did. I wonder, would we take more risks this week? Would we try more things? What would change in your life if you did that? And then what would change if I saw and treated everyone the way Jesus treated me? Your boss, your coworkers, your spouse, the person that hurt you, the person that harmed you, the person who ignored you, the people that love you. What would change this week if you just asked Jesus to let his love spill out through you onto everybody around you, including on 295 at 8:15 on Monday morning? Not possible. I wonder that if we practice abiding by depending and growing and letting it spill out, what would change in our lives? I hope you come back next week. Next week we're going to actually talk about, what does the fruit look like? We've talked about why we should abide. What are some of the characteristics? But next week we're going to talk about, when he says you're going to bear much fruit, what does that even mean? And what does that look like?